thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Mandy Kennedy.
Hello.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And if Krista Francis just walked out the door...
Her coat's still here.
I need you to at least come and say hello on the microphone.
Just...
Because she wouldn't agree to be on the show. So, all right, here is a former Nerd Up crew member, Krista Francis.
What up, peeps?
She did it.
That's all she's got for us, I guess. So, yeah, she'll be in the peanut gallery tonight. We've also got Josh and Justin up here. Did you just say yeet?
She's stealing my shtick.
It's
that I stole from you.
Chill out, Yeezus. It's fine. Jesus. And Stephen Bright's here.
It's Yeats by Gray.
Yeats by Gray. That's what you went to.
That's the one that won the vote. And I'm okay. A man of the people, if nothing else.
All right. So now to make Mandy a little bit happier, because right now bad things are happening in sports world. Wonder Woman 84 is in the can.
Good.
It's officially wrapped filming.
I want it now. Right now.
Soon.
Now.
Soonish.
Now.
Someday. Unless WB keeps pushing stuff back. But it's at least in the can now, so it should be good to
go.
Yeah,
they can't scrap it. They have to give it to me.
It'd be real dumb if they scrapped it.
They would
have
lost so much money.
So much money.
They did give it to me.
Plus, they put it in a better spot, too. Like, it was a later spot, but it's a better spot.
Right. So sports things are happening. So there's slight distractions here.
The recording for a minute and murder. Josh.
The peanut gallery.
There won't be sound, so no one will know in the background.
There won't be
evidence.
But the screams might pick up.
He can't scream. Look at him.
I wasn't talking about him.
Yeah, no, it'll be like the war
the
cry.
The battle cry.
All right, so moving on here because we. Can't keep getting too distracted by sports stuff. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina has been renewed through season 4. Netflix has a ton of confidence in Sabrina.
That lawsuit went real well.
Yeah, it did. I think they settled out of it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they settled.
But they never said exactly what happened. I think the term that I kept seeing was resolved. So I don't know exactly how that ended. But anyway, yeah, that all went well. We knew that they were getting 2 seasons at least because that was how they poached Sabrina from CW.
Yeah.
By saying, like, guaranteed 2 seasons. And, I guess the first season plus the Christmas special, which I haven't watched yet, were popular enough. Yeah, they released a 1-episode Christmas special.
Huh.
And I guess those have done well enough that they're like, you know what? 2 more seasons. Make it happen. This is doing real well. And maybe that, like, Satanist church issue gave them even more...
It probably gave them a lot of publicity.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Well, and I've seen a bunch of things of, like YouTube clips from, like, I don't know if it's late night shows or just YouTube channels of, like, they brought on the original stars from Sabrina the Teenage Witch and, like, were showing them clips or episodes and, like, filming their reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was kind of funny.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because,
they were pushing... That's probably one of the most advertised things Netflix has right now.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Because I see it everywhere.
They're putting a lot of resources behind Sabrina, and it's working, apparently, because, like I said, Netflix canceled the Marvel shows, obviously, mm-hmm. There's other stuff mm-hmm. involved there.
Yeah.
But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure Netflix has the money to have put up a better fight than what they did. Because a lot of people I started hearing, there was a lot of... Just not great return on those Marvel Netflix shows, like Luke Cage and Iron Fist anyway.
I don't know how they got any return. Because, I don't know jack about business. I don't understand how Netflix can afford to make like, oh yeah, we're going to put $1 million and give it to Max Landis to make Bright. Like, it's going to be the most expensive thing we've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not selling anything. Like, they're not selling...
I mean, like every month they're selling.
It's their membership fees. But at a certain point, like... How much are you spending versus how much are they bringing in? Because Netflix as a company is, like, ridiculously in debt.
Are they?
Yeah.
I thought they were, like, doing real well.
No, yeah. Like, I thought they were, like, not losing money, but, like, they owe a lot of money.
So I didn't think that was true at all. Like,
let me get that pulled up. Because there's, like, truckloads.
Mm-hmm. Because they have, I mean, multi-millions of people are subscribed to Netflix paying $10 every month.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, that's a lot of money.
October 22nd, let me see, where from Variety.com, Netflix plans to raise $2 billion in new debt to fund content spending.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. Like, basically, that's they're taking out a loan for a ridiculous amount of money that they intend on paying back.
To make more content so more people buy Netflix.
Right. As of September 30th, Netflix reported $8.3 billion in long-term debt, up 71% from $4.89 billion a year prior. But if they're making money, shouldn't that number be going down?
Right.
I mean, if they keep borrowing more, then
I feel at
not.
Some point, I mean, you can't let them borrow more,
Can
though.
I just go to the bank and be like, I would like to borrow money, please?
I mean,
I would like to continue just borrowing money, please.
Yeah.
As long as you're paying
it. Yeah, I'll pay it back.
As long as you're actively paying it back, which is what it sounds like Netflix is doing. And yeah, you can do that in real life, too. Banks might not do it. But I know some lenders that as long as you keep paying back like their minimums, credit cards will do that.
Yep, they sure will.
Yeah, but my credit card's like, yeah, but we've already given. You've spent enough. And I'm paying them back all the time. On time.
Wait a minute. No, never mind.
Did we lose everything?
I'm not going to talk about it.
No, he's trying to make me happy, but he was just ruining everything.
No, it was... anyway, moving on here. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, 4 seasons. Good stuff. Also, Disney has confirmed a Pirates of the Caribbean reboot, and it will not include Johnny Depp.
Like all of the movies?
I think they're just going to start from scratch, like with a new set of everything.
Huh. Which, that's fine. That's probably for the best at this point, because I have not heard anything good about the movies past the third one.
Yeah.
And including the third one.
I only liked like the first two, I think.
The last one was really good, I thought, anyway. But yeah, the one, I think it was number 4, the first one without Orlando Bloom was not great.
Yeah.
Dead Men Tell No Tales, I think.
I stopped watching after 3 because I was not on.
I really
that was
not.
The hype for me, and then I was done.
I really did not like the third one, I didn't see any of the other ones after that.
Yeah, no, I
like
wasn't
the first
really
one was epic, and we're like, "Oh my god!" Mm-hmm. And the second one was good, and then there was the third one, and I was like, "These aren't as amazing," and I'm kind of done. So,
yeah, the third one was pretty meh. The fourth one I didn't like at all, but yeah, I think it was the fifth one was solid. No, I think the most recent one was Dead Men Tell No Tales, and then the one before that was the one about the Fountain of Youth or whatever.
Sure.
I don't remember.
No. Yeah, I don't remember either. It's been a really long time since. Like, I saw the first 3 in theaters, and then I've seen the first one a handful of times because it's on, like, cable at this point and other viewings, which it'll be interesting to see if they, when they say reboot, like, if they do it focusing, like, on a completely new cast of characters or if it's going to be Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
And if they do that, like, who they're going to get to play the character. Because that is, like, arguably one of Johnny Depp's most iconic roles.
Yeah. I feel like it should be completely new characters.
Steven left.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like they're not old enough to completely just do that same story with different characters already.
Right.
I feel like if it's like crazy old, then you can, like they're doing with other stuff, but Pirates isn't as old, so I feel like a different storytelling with different characters would be cool.
I'm trying.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, yeah, with how not great they've been. Though
you're saying it like it's not that, which I guess it's, that's not a new story.
I mean,
at all.
I know they came out when I was they started coming out when I was in like 6th or 7th grade. Or maybe 8th, 7th or 8th, maybe.
I don't remember.
It's been a while. Yeah, I remember us talking about Johnny Depp and Orlando Bloom. But
I don't know if we talked about this on when, but you saying like, because it's not new enough for them to like use the same characters again.
Mm-hmm.
They're rebooting Shrek.
I saw that or heard that.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
What? Why?
I don't know either.
I love that first one.
Because they're redoing all the Disney ones, so you know the other companies have
like,
to do that now
we
too.
We can remake our franchises.
I still just wish that we would have gotten the Chris Farley version of Shrek.
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that he wouldn't have done a great job, but and maybe it's just because
the lines are out there.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, you can. He got like 80% of the movie or something like that done when he died.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can actually go and listen to the lines he recorded, and I think that it would have been better than Mike Myers.
Because I did enjoy Mike Myers a lot in that.
I did, too. Like, I'm not saying Mike Myers
did
a bad job.
I like those movies a lot.
Yeah.
It's just, Chris Farley was a national treasure. Mm-hmm. And Yeah. And I'm all reminded of him recently because Adam Sandler did that stand-up
bit
on Netflix where he had the
musical dedication.
Musical tribute song to Chris Farley. And never did I thought I would tear up at an Adam Sandler stand-up special.
Yeah.
But it happened.
You qualified it with stand-up special because I'd be like, I saw Click.
I also saw Click.
And I got a little misty. Yeah. Watching Click, which I was very upset at.
God, that movie.
I was like,
sad.
How? This is not what I signed up for. Right. This is not the movie
I signed up for Adam
to.
Sandler, not to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because fortunately he managed to turn it around before I, like, you know, really started crying during that scene, like when he flips the guy off instead.
Yeah.
Oh, it was funny. But yeah, that was a good movie too. I liked that a lot. But either way, yeah. So, and yeah, for those of you that haven't watched that stand-up special on Netflix with Adam Sandler, it's actually pretty good. And then it ends with a Chris Farley tribute that's extremely touching. At the very least, y'all should YouTube that. It's good stuff. So anyway, Men in Black International got a trailer. So we got to see Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson in action under the UK division of Men in Black with some Liam Neeson in there.
I didn't know. We probably talked about it when that like casting was announced, but I completely forgot that he was in it. So when he showed up in the trailer, I was like, oh,
surprise.
Okay. I'm very much on board.
Yeah, I'm on board for this movie in general.
And like the idea that she like knew the Men in Black existed and like finally tracked them down. I loved that idea. Him as like this rock star, like super
agent. Yeah.
Everything about this, like, okay. I was pretty lukewarm to it, but yeah, no, watching the trailer and I'm in. You got me.
Yeah, no, I'm all in on this movie. It looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about it, which I did not think I would be.
No.
Like, I loved the casting whenever I heard, like, Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson, mm-hmm. but then, like, I actually saw that in action. I'm like, oh, okay.
I didn't see it. I meant to go back and look through. Did you see the framed portrait of K&J?
Yeah.
I love that. See, that's the kind. This is the kind of reboot that I like, in that it's not starting over; it's just expanding
mm-hmm.
the world we already have,
and they acknowledge,
right,
like the original.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's I'm digging. I'm for it. I'm so excited about this movie.
Yeah.
The other trailer we got this week
mm-hmm.
that I'm also more excited than I was before the trailer. We got the new Hellboy.
I was amazed at how much better I thought this trailer made the movie look.
Yeah.
Because we mentioned it on the pre-show a little bit, and I talked about it with Shannon. I don't remember if we did it on the show or if it was before, but I was never, like, I'm not a huge Hellboy fan. The reason I like those first movies is because I like Guillermo del Toro, so I'm going to watch anything he puts out.
Mm-hmm.
But the character itself doesn't do a whole lot for me, so I don't have that affinity. Mm-hmm. Ron Perlman was great in those movies, and those were fun movies, but watching this trailer and David Harbour seems to be doing his best Ron Perlman impression, but it works really, really well. And it seems like this movie has a lot of like spirit to it. Just there's a lot of humor. Someone said they're going full MCU.
Yeah, which I think it was Hunter that said that. They're going full MCU and it's working.
Yeah.
Because the trailer made that movie look really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Manny, what'd you think there?
I didn't see it.
Oh.
I know nothing about Hellboy. So.
I reckon like it looks just like a fun.
It looks weird. The mm-hmm. screenshot that's in the chat just looks weird.
Yeah. Oh no. I mean, it's a
so.
Yeah, everything Hellboy's CGI. Gonna look weird.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, it won't have a lot of the extra characters, like Abe Sapien's not making an appearance, mm-hmm. There's another Hellboy character that's really popular that's not. I don't.
Honestly, like to me, that's fine. Like keep it focused on
Hellboy at least
himself.
For the first movie.
Yeah, and then you can kind of build out from there if they do decide to franchise this.
Right. Which I imagine this making a lot of money.
I mean, and also I feel like at this time, like if a movie studio can squeeze as many movies out of something as possible, they're going to, and they're going to plan for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what's that thing do? It smashes stuff.
Does it do anything else?
It smashes stuff real good.
That trailer was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like it looks
a little.
Really funny, a lot of action.
Only nitpicky thing, and that's in every trailer at this point, is like whenever they show him with the horns and the halo and stuff,
mm-hmm.
be like, you didn't need to give us that in the trailer.
Yeah, that would have been a cool thing to see in the movie.
Because, mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, like now I'm curious about like what, you know, what exactly that's going to be about. But.
Right, which gives you, I mean, and it kind of gives you that tease of, okay, well, what's going to bring this out of him?
Right. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, that would have just been really cool to see, like, you know,
to see that they do
be
that.
Surprised by that in the theaters. Yeah. Similarly to, like, How to Train Your Dragon 3. Like,
that trailer, so I saw the trailer of that before Spider-Man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We did too.
And watching the trailer, I was like, I need to go watch these first two movies.
I'm going to cry.
Because that third, like, that trailer for the third one looked sick.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. Like, they're all good. Incredible.
It looked, like, super dark and, like, I love that aesthetic. The idea that there's just this, like, dragon hunting, like, army going around. Like, yeah. Okay.
I feel like I'm on board with this.
The toothless parts, I was kind of like, less funny. Like, give me that kind of dragon movie, though. But, yeah, so now I got to. I'm pretty sure I've seen the first one.
I hope so. For your sake.
You know, the first two movies are legitimately fantastic.
Yes.
Like, they are
really good about animated films. Spoiling in the trailers, though, because I remember the second.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because that's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah, but I didn't know if we wanted to spoil it for.
I mean, there's the trailer. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer of the Lost Dog movie.
Yeah.
That then shows
gave
the
you
reunion
the entire movie.
In the trailer. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
The dog's way home or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, I made it home. I don't need to see the movie because I know he makes it home or she makes it home.
Yeah, they literally gave us the entire plot of that film. Like, dog.
All the way through.
Really? Yeah. Like,
he gets dog. Dog grows up. Dog runs, gets out, runs away. Dog tries to make it back home. Befriends a cougar. Because
save someone's
life. Like, it's like showing like a 2 minute version of Forrest Gump, like with all the biggest, the greatest hits.
Do you guys remember like
the trailer ends with him like it can't be. And the dog running back to him like what?
Yeah, no, like,
unless that's a fake out and like that's like 20 minutes after the dog's run away and he's like, oh, it can't be, and then it's a different dog like running to someone else. Like it turn and look and it's just a golden retriever.
Probably, but you know the dog makes it back.
Well, yeah.
No, this was almost certainly like that's not a fake out. Like that's almost certainly what happened. And yeah,
we can't make people wonder. Imagine the sensitive people that are watching this that might.
They won't see it because it's
like,
going
to
be sad.
They can't handle the wait for the movie to come out. Like, they have to know.
They need
they
to know.
They could cause some serious problems if they are left thinking that dog, Bella's just out there.
But then we got the Lego movie trailer.
Okay.
I didn't get that, actually.
I got it in front of Spider-Man and Aquaman. And the second time seeing it, I'm like, I'm so ready for this movie.
That and Dragons both come out in February. And I was like, why?
Did you draw dots of stubble on your face? No.
No, right? Sweat. I thought you were looking at me legitimately about to ask me a question. So I'm so glad I saw that.
Archaeologist
trailer.
Raptor trainer.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
That was literally I started hitting Justin. And I was like, oh my God.
You need to watch the trailer. It's so
good. Yeah, I didn't even know they had a trailer for it. Like, I just missed that entirely.
I love the Lego movie, the first one. It's legitimately one of my favorite movies ever. And this trailer looks the second part.
Yeah.
Looks so good. Also, I do have a newfound respect for that second Godzilla trailer now that I've seen it in theaters.
You got that one in theaters too?
Yeah, I get that one was before Aquaman.
Okay.
And it's one of those like, okay, I can see seeing this like in theaters for the full effect of everything.
And but I'm going to see it in theaters.
But I still think there's just too much people.
Like, they probably will be since they paid, you know, like, then again, she can't be that expensive because she's a child actress, but Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh, honey. Also, I need to see her in a happy role, please. Yeah. Because there's only so many times I can see a small child, like, break down and cry.
Yeah, that.
In sheer terror.
Like, she has not had, like, a good, like, life in any movie
roles.
She's been in.
Yeah. She hasn't played fun roles.
She's probably, like, the happiest person, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, we got to meet her at ICC. Well, I say meet her. We got to see her at ICC.
We saw her
live. Yeah. And, yeah, she seemed perfectly happy and, you know, mm-hmm. fun, mm-hmm. like, et cetera. But,
because right. She can recognize that. She's not those characters. It's just a job.
Right. She can, but can people?
Apparently, I can't.
So moving now to less cool stuff. We got a first look at Aladdin, which everything looked great except for Genie.
I don't even think Aladdin looks that great.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I guess I should think he's hot.
you need him like 60% more shirtless.
Yeah, like, and just like he needs to be hotter. Years. Like, as a child, that was my prince crush. So real life Aladdin needs to be like, oh, hello. And he's not. He's just standard guy. Which I get. He's a street person thing in the
issue. You censored Street Rat.
Yeah, well, right? I didn't know. I started saying it, and then I was like, is that okay? Because we're all sensitive.
Right. Yeah, they
unless
that's what they call
them. Like, we go watch the movie, and all of a sudden, never say it it's once. It's like,
yeah, because
made a terrible mistake.
Obviously, the original cartoon, he just had, the vest on. Mm-hmm. And then, muscled and everything underneath it, or toned, I guess.
Well, and also
say.
Had, the flowy hair.
Yeah. And this was a little bit more realistic in that respect as to where they are located. He's very much wearing a full shirt. And it's the same thing with Jasmine when we got to see her. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she had midriff and barely anything going on in the cartoon.
Imagine that.
But in the actual movie, she's fully clothed.
Right.
I thought she still had a crop top on.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It's still pretty looking, though.
Because that was one of Shannon's complaints. It's like, Jasmine, no midriff? Not watching it. she's still pretty, but she's not the scantily clad version we got in those, Disney movies.
Which, looking back now and talking about it, it's like, that was a children's movie.
Yep. Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing when I'm sitting here mentioning it. We also got to see Abu. Abu looked fine.
Did we see Abu?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is covered.
In the cover?
Not on the cover, but
I did see a picture of Abu, though.
Yeah, there were more shots of it inside that article.
I missed that. Oh, yeah, that isn't midriff.
I know, nope. I saw
it.
It's
like the cover.
They did lace,
but
it's her
skin tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, at first glance, it might look like it's midriff, but no,
it is not.
It's complete covering. Looks almost
also,
like a corset.
Now that I'm looking at it, Aladdin almost looks like he's wearing an outdoorsman fishing vest.
Huh.
that ain't great. But really, I didn't think we would spend this much time talking about them.
As much as Will
when
Smith.
When Will Smith is standing back there.
With his
with
top
that
knot.
Beard and the top knot and the stupid. And okay. And he's got, because apparently there was the backlash. We weren't the only ones that are hard pass on him. Because he's no, I will be blue. Just for whatever reason, we decided that first impression isn't going to actually be what he looks like. It reminded me, we talked about it way back when. Remember when we got our first look at Apocalypse from the X-Men movie? Mm-hmm. And he was purple?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, he's going to look right in the movie. And he did.
Because he looked like Ooze.
Yeah,
he looked
like
Ivan Ooze.
Why are you looking like Ivan Ooze?
Yeah.
Why are you showing us this? I don't know why Entertainment Weekly is making these choices of we're going to show you characters, but not what they actually look like.
Mm-hmm.
So I will reserve some judgment for when he looks like he's... actually blue, or to see what he actually looks like in the movie, but at a glance, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah,
especially because the thing we talked about in the group chat of whenever the genie transforms to anything, he always keeps his face.
Yeah,
it's comically somewhere in whatever he transforms to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't Will Smith just looking like Will Smith as a car though
with his regular human face just blown up super huge on it. That sounds awful. So I want to see what he's gonna look like in the movie, and maybe that was just his costume that they're gonna CGify.
Right.
I don't know what exactly was going on in that cover, but it wasn't good.
No.
Need to see what they're actually gonna do with it.
Because and it's the thing where it's okay, I get it, you're doing a live action, but when you look at what they're doing with the Lion King,
yes.
And I know this is a huge thing for Dalton. Everything in Lion King is CG, so it's not really live action. It's just made to look live action.
Okay, but
you can
go,
do that with Will Smith.
We can go to Beauty and the Beast. That was really good, and it was live action.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, I just mean for the number of effects that they use.
Oh.
So
yeah.
Genie could just be
a CGI
gauntlets,
genie,
shirtless, and then the red sash, and then the wisp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then voiced by Will Smith.
Right. Which again, we don't necessarily know, isn't going to be that. But I think, you saying voiced by Will Smith, that's what I was expecting.
Yeah, I was expecting basically the cartoon version.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Slightly more realistic looking, slightly, but still very much the blue genie.
But and then just voiced by Will Smith. And I think
it
literally took you saying that for that to click in my brain. That's why I don't like it. Because I didn't want to see Will Smith as the genie. I wanted to hear it. That'd be fine. But if it's just Will Smith walking around like Will Smith, then...
Because I think it's going to be a lot of, if not Will Smith walking around, it's going to be Will Smith with the wisp.
Yeah, or
CG'd over
around.
His, under his midriff.
Yeah.
Which, fine, I guess, but
hopefully we see him in a trailer.
Right. I'm sure we will.
Yeah.
We're going to get more trailers as it comes closer to release, but anyway. All right, we spent a little too much time on Aladdin, I think. so we got the Doom Patrol teaser hit, which,
That looks fun.
Yeah.
I don't really care about any of those characters. I'm really that they're putting Cyborg in a TV thing.
Yeah, and not the Justice League version.
Right, after their whole complaint about, like, we don't want to confuse moviegoers by including the TV characters in the movie.
Yeah, well, no.
Or whatever, or we're not going to use the TV actors in the movie.
It wasn't even that. Like, they didn't want... Harley Quinn was the one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they stopped Harley Quinn from showing up in the Suicide Squad arc in Arrow. Because they didn't want to confuse viewers by thinking that, you know, those characters already existed,
mm-hmm.
which is just a ridiculous argument since obviously the Flash was already there, and now they clearly don't care because in their own content that they are producing, they're putting Cyborg out, and they're still planning on doing a Cyborg movie.
Yeah.
And they're going to be two completely different characters.
Oh, God.
And they even look completely different. Like,
honestly, I like this version better than what we got too. In Justice League.
But I hated the Justice League version. I thought the Justice League version looked super dumb.
Yeah, it didn't look great. No. I didn't hate it as much as you did, but I definitely like this one better.
Oh, yeah. This one
also, Brendan Fraser is going to be in it, so.
Yeah, at some point.
I might give this one a shot.
I haven't seen Brendan Fraser in a long time.
Dalton said that he liked the Doom Patrol episode of
Yeah,
because
they had like a sort like a, what do you call it? The
backdoor trailer.
Backdoor pilot,
yeah.
Yeah, they had a backdoor pilot. Yeah, I don't know. It looks neat. It looks fun. Cyborg looks, like I said, way better than Justice League, but I'm still not sold on the DCU, and I won't be until Young Justice hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll probably start watching through a lot of stuff. I mean, well...
Well, now that Titans is ending, I think, like the season finale is either this week or next week.
I thought it was like last week or this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was last week.
It might have been. I know it's like upcoming or had just recently happened.
Yeah, because apparently it's big news that Batman's in it.
Yeah,
and
it's going to be, and it's Robin versus Batman.
Right.
Because apparently Batman has now crossed the line and it's up to the Titans to stop him.
Okay. Folks couldn't see my eye roll. just know that it was there.
They might have felt it.
Yeah, somehow they heard it. I'm not exactly sure how, but they heard it. So either way, I might check it out. Like, it would be low priority though. Basically, when Young Justice airs, I'm gonna watch Young Justice, then I'm probably gonna watch all the way through Teen Titans, and then if I have any time left, I'll check out one of the other DCU shows.
Yeah,
because I just don't care, which is unfortunate.
Yeah,
because I love those characters, but they're not proving anything to me.
Nope.
They're not selling me. All right. So first we're going to do here real quick an Aquaman spoiler-free review. Ace is the only one at the table that has seen it, so I'm going to just go ahead and leave this one to Ace. Hit it, buddy.
It was fine. Like, I think I would have liked it a lot more if I hadn't seen Spider-Man literally the day before.
Yeah, because, you probably should have reversed that.
Yeah, but I didn't want to wait anymore to see Spider-Man.
Yeah.
There was like a 30... When I went to buy my ticket this morning, I was like, I mean, I could just see Spider-Man again. But I enjoyed it. I liked it probably. I liked it better than Justice League. It's not as good as Wonder Woman, of course.
Well, nothing's going
to
happen.
But I mean, it's one of the better things that the DC, whatever it's called now, the Worlds of DC.
Yeah, Worlds of DC Universe.
It's one of the better ones that they've done. There are a lot of really, really cool moments. A lot of the visuals are really cool. The practical effects are very hit and miss. Because some of it kind of looks cheesy and campy, but others look really, really cool. The scene with the trench is genuinely really, really cool to see. There's a lot of really... Jason Momoa was a lot of fun in it, but it's very much just Aqua Bro.
I kind of figured that was going to be the case with Jason Momoa. Like, yeah. He was going to be fun to watch. He was going to be fun to look at in the role, but outside of that,
it's done well. Like, I mean, yeah, it's him and Amber Heard who are just wet for like, which I was thinking like this movie must have sucked to film because it's just constantly wet in Maine is where it's set, so it's not even like a warm beach.
Ew,
and then there's an
yeah.
extended sequence in the Sahara, so it's like you're out in the middle of the desert. Like, they that must have sucked to film. It is entirely too long. There are solid chunks of the movie that just drag. And at the same time, kind of feel rushed a little.
Shoehorned.
Yeah, shoehorned in. Like, yeah. Okay, we got to get these characters in, and we have to give them their full arc. Because it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like they maybe realized, oh, we're probably not getting a sequel. We may not be getting a sequel.
Yeah.
So.
And that was my big complaint with Justice League. Like, the number of people that are like, all right, we got to do the backstory on this. We got to establish these characters real quick and try to make you care about them so you'll care about the rest of the movie.
Yeah, there were a couple, especially in, like, right at the beginning, loaded in the beginning, there are a couple that are supposed to be, like, really intense, heart-wrenching scenes, and they just don't land. At least they didn't for me. But, I mean, and like I said in the group chat, it's a solid B movie, but with a AAA budget, so everything looks really cool.
Yeah.
I would give it a matinee, honestly. Just because some of the, like, especially like the trench scene, the majority of the fight scenes are really, really cool and look really cool. It does a lot of good, but not like MCU good. At least not MCU at its best. Like, I would say this is probably better than like Thor or like the first Captain America, because I didn't really like those movies all that much.
Right.
But Matt, it's a solid matinee, like solid matinee popcorn. Turn your brain off.
Watch just Jason Momoa and Amber Heard be wet,
right, and fight people.
Yeah, I know. Like the critical review has not been great. Mm-hmm. Like I think a lot of the aggregators that I've seen have put it around like 60 to 65%.
That sounds about right.
And then the fan ratings though have been significantly higher. Like. Yeah. Upwards of like 85 to 90%.
Honestly, this is probably reviews. Like, I'm not defending it that much, but like this is probably like my Venom, in that like the critics hated it, but then like its fan base was super into it, because I wasn't super into it, but I overall like I'm not mad that I went, right. Especially yeah. at the discounted price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna go this morning, but it was at 8 a.m. and I was like,
and that's when I went.
Ugh. Yeah,
that's when I went and saw that Aquaman and Into the Spider-Verse.
Because, yeah, that was the only showtime this morning for the discounted price was 8 a.m. So mm-hmm. I was like, I don't need to see it that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. There were stretches that I got actively kind of bored mm-hmm. in. And just a lot of unnecessary storytelling elements. Especially at the beginning. Like, they really had to. There's two characters that they really needed to establish their relationship. But it's in the weirdest time placement. It's like, no, you're not going to have this conversation now.
Yeah.
But they did, because they had to get it out there. But.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Matinee. Check it out.
Fair enough. And now, the movie that everyone at the table did see, and what I guarantee I know the review for everyone at the table, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. The Sony Animation Spider-Man movie in association with Marvel, not related to the MCU or even the Venom movies or anything along those lines.
Although they could tie that in. And that would actually be super interesting.
Tied into the MCU?
Mm-hmm. Or the Venom universe, or both.
Right, it absolutely could.
Because it's the multiverse.
Yeah, because if you guys haven't seen or heard anything about this, it's all about the multiverse. Mm-hmm. Something's going down, and five spiders have come into one Spider-Man's universe,
yep.
And they have to stop the big bad.
Wasn't the way that I thought it was going to be from the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I assumed it was going to be, person moving into this other one and has to make his way back, but instead it's everybody's joining up with this other one, and
then he sends them
this movie. Oh, this movie, it's perfect.
It was fantastic.
Like when we got the trailers, I wasn't super sold on the art style. That went away almost immediately mm-hmm. after I saw some of the things that they were doing with it. It was phenomenally acted.
Yeah,
it was. Even the soundtrack.
Oh my God! Yes,
the soundtrack was incredible.
And it's a style of music that I don't particularly enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But when they tied in like the theme song for the movie, mm-hmm. that Post Malone song, mm-hmm. when they tied that in and gave it kind of an emotional, like an emotional attachment to one of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I'm super into it. I've listened to it like.
Oh, yeah, when we got in the car, I was like, and Spider-Man. It's like Moana.
Right, yeah, you go on Spotify, Spider-Man. There it is. Hit that soundtrack.
Like, and then the fact that this is a cartoon is amazing, because everything that, there's something to be said about comic book movies being made in real life, being like, and trying to look like realistic,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have to try to do that.
No.
That last fight, like the climax of the movie, that fight scene,
holy crap.
Was beautiful. They were able to fully lean into it being a comic, or mm-hmm. like into it being a cartoon.
Yeah.
This movie was a love letter to Spider-Man.
Because this was less like, it was a cartoon technically.
Yeah.
But really, it looked like a comic book. that had just been put into full motion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not like, you know, your standard motion comics and stuff like that where there's slight movements and everything. Yeah, just it was a comic book with like the sound effect bubbles and everything popping up, just put into full motion, and it was incredible. Like, it unreasonably good. And
it was directed well, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was directed, like, it felt like these are shots that would be in a live-action movie that they would try to get.
It's fantastic. And they even did some really cool cinematography with it, which just, like, yeah, you don't expect to see that in, like, this kind of an animated feature.
All of the characters felt super developed. Like, there wasn't anyone in there that wasn't necessary, really. Like, they all felt like they had their own motivations and I loved this movie so much.
I actually enjoyed a Spider-Man movie, everybody.
You did.
I did. I like
it. She made it all the way through a Spider-Man movie.
I did. I liked it. I like Miles very much.
Yeah, Miles is great.
I also like the one Peter, but I'm probably just biased because it's Nick Miller in a Spider-Man suit.
Jake Johnson as that Spider-Man was incredible because, like, I could see him, like, voicing it.
Yeah,
and, like,
I know.
I could see him, like, behind the mask when he was suited up. Like, oh, man, if he was...
And plus, like...
I'm mad that we're not in the universe where he actually got to play, like, a live-action Spider-Man.
Yeah, because that would have worked beautifully. Because the whole thing, like, I wasn't aware exactly, like, whenever we saw the trailers, you know, you see what, like, his version of Peter Parker is, and it's not really clear that, and it's not a huge spoiler to say he's not the Peter Parker of that universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the other, well, no, yeah, it's not a spoiler at all. It was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Because he talked about, like, he did the French fry comparison in the trailer.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see that Spider-Man and you kind of hear him talk, you look at his face and everything else. Like, I remember seeing that, thinking that, like, that was their interpretation of the main Marvel universe of Spider-Man.
And I was the same way, and I was kind of down on it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, that ain't Peter Parker. What are you doing?
But then, like, they actually give it to us. So it's like everything about it makes sense. Oh, he's Peter B. Parker. And yeah, no, it was fantastic.
Do you, did you catch who played the Peter Parker of Miles's universe?
I actually missed it.
It's Chris Pine.
Actor. Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Chris,
no.
Oh, that's
and then Gwen is Hailee Steinfeld, which is an, I guess apparently now an actress because I'm pretty sure she's the main chick in Bumblebee, but I like her music as well.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh my God!
That and Gwen was the one I was talking about earlier when I was like, I know there's one character.
I thought it was going to be the diva looking Spider-Girl.
No.
And I was going to be like, dang, you're going to wait me till almost the end of the movie to tell me I was going to like her? Yeah, no, I like Gwen.
Even like Spider-Ham was used perfectly.
Yeah, he was.
At first,
and John Mulaney as Spider-Ham.
At first, I was like, what is this guy? What? Why? And then he had a few good lines, and I was like, okay, but I still wasn't fully on board with him.
Can you float through the air when you smell a pie?
So weird.
And but, like, the movie was funny.
Yeah.
Like, there were parts I legit laughed out loud. There were multiple parts that I teared up.
Yep.
If didn't actively just, like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay, yeah. But, like, Kingpin... ugly looking.
Yeah.
And
that,
like,
was an interesting art choice.
And like, like at one point he like got out of the Escalade thing and Justin's like, he can't even fit in that.
Yeah.
And we're like, I was like, yeah, there I don't.
Comic books. It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon.
Like, and his like behind his neck and shoulders was like 5 feet taller than his head.
Yeah, he was like, he was a walking like cube.
It didn't it was so terrible. And he had like a quadruple chin. Like, no.
But I see. But at the same time, like, stylistically, with everything else in the movie, I dug it.
No.
Like, he was probably my least
favorite
character.
He stuck out to me.
He was, like, my least favorite of the character designs, but I still, like...
And Liev Schreiber voiced him.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. My only other issue was the beginning of the movie, like, the opening credit scene, because I was doing that glitchy thing, which I liked at first, but then it kept going and going and going, and I was like, Jesus, I get it, but my... It felt like it went on for 10 minutes. And that was a lot for me. But the rest of the movie was really good.
Yeah. No, I really, really enjoyed this movie. Absolutely full price. Like, I might even see it again. I paid full price for this movie, and I might see it again at full price.
Yeah. I think the soundtrack helped kill it for me, too. Like, because that's a lot input on my movies, and the soundtrack just lined up so well with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I have zero problems with this movie. I can't think of anything to nitpick about.
All
even.
Of the like little references to other Spider-Man media, movies, games, comics, Just there were so many little touches. B. Bendis being one of Miles' top contacts.
Yeah. And that was even like on the comic book whenever they popped that out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that, but yeah, that was one of the credits was B.M. Bendis. Brian Michael Bendis created Miles Morales.
That's
cool.
This is also a movie that, like, not only is it full price worth seeing, this is a movie that should be seen in theaters. Because, like, the sound design, the soundtrack, the visual style, like, the way everything works, like, even the end credits scene.
Oh, yeah.
Was.
Did you see it in 3D?
No.
Because I'm thinking, like, when I said I'm thinking about paying full price again, like, I'm thinking about going back and seeing it in 3D.
Man, 3D always gives me such a headache. Like, it's one that I would probably try just because I like the movie that much.
Yeah, it'd probably seem really cool.
But yeah. 3D always ends up giving me a headache.
That's
or
fair.
Like kind of motion sicky.
Because I don't usually have that problem with 3D. So yeah, but I think that this is one movie that could be improved by 3D.
Yeah.
And since everybody's kind of given up on 3D, you know, Blu-rays and stuff, this would be my only opportunity to see it that way.
Yeah. But man, this movie, it's like, it's so good.
I give it full price.
Everyone just killed it. They made me care about Prowler.
Man, that was upsetting.
He was so badass. Like, that is a version of Prowler that, like, I didn't think, but, like, they added enough to where he was, like, legitimately terrifying.
Yeah, because that is the ultimate universe version of Prowler.
Who, right.
Like, all of Spider-Man's rogues gallery was way scarier in the ultimate universe. And that version of Prowler, they just, even the music that went along with him every time he showed up was just,
like, theme.
Yeah. It added, like, an intensity to it, which was just...
I want to go see it again. Ooh. Like, let's just go now.
Yeah, like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about all of Prowler's scenes. That was so good. But anyway, yeah, and there's a lot of moments in there that I legitimately did almost, like, I almost started crying there in the theater. It was just like, oh, no. Not now. Not
like,
this.
I'm glad I'm by myself, and there's no one else, like, around me.
Yeah, I was in a different city.
So, we're not gonna see any of those people again.
Right, like I'll never see any of these people again in my life. I don't care. I shouldn't care. It was so good though. All right. That's gonna do it for that portion of the podcast. The next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends in Perryville, Missouri at Villainous Grounds. We've used a lot of times, so we gotta kinda speed through the rest of this. Arkham Knight is getting a comic book debut in Detective Comics number 1000. We have confirmed that it's not Jason Todd.
We'll see. They also said in the game that it was going to be an all-new character.
And it was not.
And they lied.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, sorry, spoiler for Arkham Knight, if you haven't played that by now. Which is better this time than the first time that it was
that
spoiled,
it got
on
spoiled
this network.
The day of, yeah, or like the week of.
Yeah, like 3 days after release, a certain special guest spoiled it.
That is not promotional artwork. If that's the image that you're using to promote this appearance, this debut, you're doing it wrong.
Was that the picture I showed you?
Yeah.
I didn't think it looked bad.
But it's not what you show to get people hyped.
Oh, like yeah.
It was very basic. It's one of those buy two prints, get three free, like that you see at every Comic-Con. Like, it reminded me of one of those. Like
yeah,
I
can see that.
Like,
then.
Fan art. But that said, I'm going to buy it. Jesse?
You keep talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had, like, there was something you were going to say.
Nope.
Because we're supposed to be rapiding.
Listen. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. I thought you were going to keep going with
No, that was it.
Yeah, fair enough. PS4 Spidey is getting a 6-issue miniseries called City of War. Be written by Dennis Hopeless, Michelle Bandini, coming out in March. So, yeah, the PS4 version of Spider-Man is hitting comic books, getting its own series.
I would be more on board if... they like included people who wrote, which I'm not, maybe it did. I need to look that up. But if it was because that the Spider-Man game was so well written and was such a good, it was a like up, possibly up until Into the Spider-Verse, this was one of my favorite Spider-Man stories.
Yeah.
And they had such a like love and care for the universe that had felt like lived in and established. So I really hope that they're including people who wrote on the game to write the miniseries.
Yeah, and because honestly, they didn't have any real detail about like what this was going to be about, because it seemed almost like this was going to be a comic book adaptation of what happened in the video game, which would be less than ideal.
But
I'm not sure if that is what they were like leaning toward, or if they were just talking about what the video game was like in that article, because they just needed to fill more words.
Gotcha.
like I'm pretty sure all the information we have is from the solicitations for that month from Marvel.
Okay.
So I don't know much more than that, though. Like, all we know is usually with those solicitations, we get a cover and we get the artist and writer is typically all we get. And it'll, you know, since it popped up like 1 through 6, so we know it's a 6-issue miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I don't know. Another miniseries we're getting is Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, or GLOW, is getting a 4-issue miniseries from IDW, also in March. Don't know. Don't have much detail about that.
So is it like from the show GLOW, and they're putting it into a comic book?
Probably.
More than likely, yeah.
Yeah, because the show was super popular, both seasons.
Okay, I got
mm-hmm.
you.
So, yeah, I don't know much more about it, though. I didn't even see a writer and artist combo on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
IDW is also relaunching Transformers in March. March is going to be a big month for comic books, guys.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
That could, I mean, the Transformers comics were a lot of fun, but it was one of those where it was going on for so long and it was hard to just kind of jump back in if you weren't familiar with the lore. So if this is like a launching, like a, you know, jumping on point, that could be super cool.
Yeah, this Transformers book, from my understanding, is supposed to set up the war for Cybertron. So really early launching off point. I don't even think they're going to be on Earth.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah, no, I could read it.
I probably won't pick it up, but
get a trade or something like that. Yeah. See, Dynamite is reviving the $6 million man, which I don't know why. But that's happening in March, too.
They need to change the name because Steve Austin is, he's taking that over. You don't get to call a character Steve Austin and it not be Stone Cold.
That's true. That's true.
Unless it is Stone Cold Steve Austin as the $6 million man.
That would
I
be
will
fantastic.
Watch that.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be written by Christopher Hastings with art by David Hahn. It's going to be set in the 70s and just pick up where the show left off.
Okay,
apparently.
Good. Because I was going to say, if this is a new modern day thing, they're going to need to up the price.
Yes.
Because $6 million ain't that impressive anymore.
Right. It is really not. At least as far as like building
a bionic Superman.
A bionic Superman. Yes. Yeah, it's $6 million.
$6 million would change not only my life, but everyone I know. Like, it would change their lives too.
Yeah.
But
for that, yeah. It'd build you a leg.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
No. $6 million would take care of me for life. It would not make me into a bionic individual, though.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so it's going to be set in the 70s, because I thought the same thing, and then I looked at the article, and it was like, yeah, 70s. Okay, cool. That makes way more sense. Mm-hmm. Just going to pick up from that show. So anyway, that's all the information I got for that, other than also in March. Again,
what?
March, huge.
Big month.
Yeah, because we talked about it last week, because I think March is going to be the 80th anniversary of Marvel.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out of that as well.
Oh, so many one-shots, I bet.
Oh, God, probably.
Hear that? That's my wallet screaming.
One shot for every single. And maybe you'll have taxes by then.
Yeah, but that's all going to something probably already.
Yeah.
Truth.
All right. This next portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You find all of their content, including their social media links, on ps2jshow.com, including the final Wednesday of every month, they do a History of Gaming episode. They're all interesting. The most recent one was Smash Bros. In honor of, you know, the game releasing.
Yes.
That's a series that's really easy to just go back through their back catalog.
Yeah.
And listen to all. Yeah. Especially because I know they're taking, he said that they're taking December off for shows, or a chunk of December. I don't remember exactly what he said, but then his computer went down. So there's plenty of content that they have put out there that you can go back and either listen to for the first time or re-listen to kind of hold you over until they're
yep. Because those History of Gaming episodes are pretty fantastic.
They're really well done, like, and they're really interesting, yeah.
Very well researched. All right, so in video game news, we got Spider-Man PS4 has added a free skin for everyone that has the game. As a Christmas present from Insomniac, you can play with the Spider-Man costume from Sam Raimi trilogy of Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, it's a whatever you think about the movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's an iconic costume. Yeah, the costume was fantastic, especially back, you know, in that time.
Right. Early 2000s.
Yeah. Looked super good. I've always been a huge fan of that, the Raimi costume. Even mm-hmm. like the black suit looked pretty good. It just wasn't my favorite version of the black suit.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite version of Spider-Man, which is a bummer, which is why Spider-Man 3 is my least favorite movie of all time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that can't be true.
No, it is. I don't think you understand.
Fair. You do have that. Although, I don't know. Into the Spider-Verse gave me kind of a all-new affinity for the Spider Universe, like, in general. Because it made me realize that, oh, I like Batman because it's, like, the detective stories are really good. And also, like, his the Rogues Gallery is great. But also there is something about that just kind of dark, brooding, visceral storytelling. But then Spider-Man is, like, the other side of the coin. It's light, it's fun, it's quippy, also has great villains, and just, it's high energy and light. So it's like, oh, wow, I do love Spider-Man so much more than I thought I did. Someone, who's knocking on the door?
That's something for, I think, Krista to deal with.
Okay.
Well, she was the one knocking.
I did push it on Krista. It's over there. It's plugged up.
What?
Don't worry about it. It's unrelated to anything. We can talk about it later.
Tech deal.
Anyway, yeah, the Spider-Man PS4 Raimi skin. Yes.
Also, just real quick aside, this is not because a bunch of internet trolls threw a fit.
And there should be another cable over there,
too. It's not because they
get that charger.
Started whining and complaining about the fact that Insomniac went on record and said that they were not working on this and this was not going to happen. The amount of time it, like, Greg Miller did a really, really good kind of Twitter rant, kind of explaining and breaking this down of, like, all of your negativity did not win.
Yeah.
This is something that they have been working on for a very long time, and probably due to a lot of legal reasons, because this had to go through Marvel, Marvel Cinematic Universe, Marvel Games, and Sony, and probably two divisions of Sony, movies and games. This is going to use the exit door and just unlock it. Because it's just twisty. They probably could not talk about it.
Yeah, that would,
like,
be my
guess.
They
could not make any sort of announcement. It's not because there was a vocal minority that threw a really toxic fit for a while. Because
you would think that it would be really easy since it is all in-house. Like, it's a Sony-owned game on a Sony-owned platform with a Sony-owned, like, everything. Like, you'd think it would have been way easier to make that happen, but... Yeah, no, it probably there probably was a whole lot of, like, hoops they needed to jump through to make it happen.
On top of the fact that just putting that level of work into a video game is not something that just takes a few days and is a reactionary thing. Like, that's going to take weeks, if not months.
Yep. So, yeah, that's cool. If you've got the game, which if you don't have the game, you should, because it's pretty fantastic.
It is one of the better games. Like, it is one of my top games of 2018.
Yeah, hands down. Absolutely. We mentioned that on the Thursday show. Like, that's one of my games of the year because it's just so good. All right. Halo Infinite will have a four-player split screen, and that's going to have Reach style customization.
Which is neat.
Yeah. Halo Reach was probably one of my favorite ones to play online. It was just super fun, and the customization options in Halo Reach were also just great. And I know Halo 5, I didn't really play much of it, like, at all, really. But yeah, I didn't even know they took out four player split screen in Halo 5.
I did, just because it was, like, when that happened, that was a pretty big sticking point when that game first came out. And it's why I was convinced that, like, no one was playing Halo 5.
Yeah, not many people were are. There is I found out 343 said there's going to be a special unlock you get in Halo Infinite if you reach level 125 in Halo 5.
Good God.
The online?
Yeah.
Well, looks like we're going to be playing some Halo.
I already own that game.
All right.
Score. Yay. We can all play Halo.
Game Pass.
That's why I have it.
Same.
I didn't buy the special edition Halo console or anything like that. but anyway, yeah, I've got that game, and it's we can make that happen a little bit. Because we did play it a little bit before Black Ops 4 came out, and we're having a bit of
fun. We enjoyed
it.
Yeah. We were bad because we didn't know the weapons or maps or
Even though they only put us on, like, two maps, like, the entire night we played it. I kept meaning to look up if there actually were any more, because I feel like it's just... You would think, but how unlikely is it that we would just get... Because I'm not exaggerating, folks. Two maps. The entire, like,
yeah, we just bounced back and forth.
Yeah, we were playing it for probably a good hour and a half one night. And yeah, just two maps over and over again.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I don't understand it entirely. Maybe it was just because of the mode we were playing, which I thought was just regular TDM.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Either way, Halo Infinite I'm really excited about because, I mean, if you know me, you know I'm a big Halo fan and have been for many, many years. So yeah, I'm kind of excited for this game, and they said they're going to feature a lot of things around Halo Reach and how that multiplayer went, which good news because Halo Reach's multiplayer and campaign, really, the campaign was also fantastic.
Yeah.
In Halo Reach, even though you didn't know exactly how it was going to end.
I mean, it's the same thing with like Rogue One. Yeah. Any kind of that kind of prequel story that's based on in a specific event.
Yeah.
But it still very much was like, I still love that story.
Oh yeah, the Rogue One was great.
The way it ended too, where you're just fighting the Horde.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
So good.
I wanted to do so much better. Mm-hmm. I wanted to beat it. I can survive.
Yeah, because it gives you that false hope.
of, you know, survive the Horde.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, it'll let me respawn. It'll let me respawn.
Nope. Yeah, that game was so good. Anyway, all right, and the last little bit of news we're going to talk about here, Dead or Alive 6 landed themselves an M rating from the ESRB.
What are the reasons? Jesse, read the ESRB.
So there's some pretty extreme violence.
Which, real quick, is surprising because it's a fighting game, so it's all about violence, but I wouldn't put that...
So an R rating for that.
That kind of a heavy rating for it is kind of shocking.
Well, obviously, like, if it wasn't for the next bit, it almost certainly would have just been T rating because... Fair. I'll explain what the violence they were talking about. But, yeah, where the real M rating came from is the, quote, questionable level of fan service that's in the game. To the point where, like, okay, so if you guys are unfamiliar with the Dead or Alive franchise, this is going to get a little adult. I'm going to try and stick to as...
Zane, cover the ears.
I'm going to try and stick to, you know, as little language as I can, but... Or
pay a dollar for the pre-show, and I break it down real easy.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So, the Dead or Alive franchise is pretty famous for certain anatomical uniqueness that it provides with physics
Jiggle
engines.
Physics.
Yeah, there you go.
Jiggle physics.
Jiggle physics is a thing in this game. This is the franchise that brought you an Extreme Beach Volleyball Edition.
Multiple.
Multiple. Yeah, there were two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's always kind of been that way. Mm-hmm. Like, it was originally done with Team Ninja, and they've always kind of had that stuff in those games, too, like the Ninja Gaiden games and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of something that's in the game. It's a really fun 3D fighter, but...
Oh, I just got so much more excited for Ultimate Alliance 3.
Oh, God.
On the Switch.
Brought to you by Team Ninja.
Oh, God.
We're going to have Spider-Woman with physics. Spider-Gwen with physics.
Oh,
anyway.
God.
Oh, Spider-Gwen's in that game.
Probably.
You do now.
All right. Yeah. One of the things that you can do in the game, like one of the big parts they mentioned specifically, you can take pictures in the game. Like, there's a camera mode similar to like how Smash Brothers works, where you can kind of pan around and do all this stuff. Yeah, you can do that in Dead or Alive. And you can go upskirt, you can go down cleavage, like all the stuff, and take pictures. And apparently there's even like some hidden Easter eggs, like one girl's underwear. Like, if you manage to catch it at the right angle, like when her skirt or whatever is flipped up, says, all right, and I pardon the language here, but the direct quote is, "Eat shit on her underwear." Which just, yeah, that's in the game. And then the violence part of it. And again, this level of violence, T rating, because, I mean, that's just how the ESRB works.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about violence. They just care about what we were talking about a second ago, jiggle physics. Because the extreme violence, they added what looks like similar to Mortal Kombat, like an EX system.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not actual x-rays for it.
Right.
You just get, like, you get punched really hard or kicked really hard or whatever, and it goes kind of slow-mo.
Yeah.
You can see them getting hit. It splatters, like, blood on the screen.
Okay.
And maybe, like, I don't know, some sweat or whatever. But, yeah, like, that hits the screen. But it's not like Mortal Kombat level where you're watching like bones shatter and all this other stuff. You just watch like really hard hits get delivered in up close and slow motion.
I'm not super familiar with the DOA franchise, like fighting game franchise. Yeah,
yeah. Me and my little brother played Dead or Alive 4 a whole lot on the Xbox 360 because one, it was one of the only Xbox 360 games that had released at that point, and two, they had a Spartan in it from Halo. Was really, really neat.
I do remember that. Yeah. I do remember that.
And Jake and I had played Dead or Alive 3 a little bit on the original Xbox and liked it quite a bit. The the counter system was really interesting, where you could counter and parry certain incoming attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Jake and I played that for a little bit, and then we got Dead or Alive 4, and we put a lot of time into that. Jake got really, really good at the parry system, which was really, really obnoxious. Because he would just wait and parry every move I threw at him. Really unfortunate. But anyway, that's my... I never played Dead or Alive 5. I know Shannon's a big fan of the Dead or Alive franchise,
mm-hmm.
so he would probably have more to say about this. But yeah, we had an M-rated Dead or Alive game, which I think that's their first M rating. Mm-hmm. Like all the other... except for Extreme Beach Volleyball.
Yeah, those were rated M.
Those were rated M. But yeah, I think the rest of the Dead or Alive games were all T-rated, if I remember right. I might be wrong about that.
I don't know.
I'm going to look that up
real
quick.
It doesn't matter. The internet's the lawless wasteland where anything can be said or done.
All right. Yeah. All right. So that's going to do it for us, though, folks. If I was wrong about that, I apologize, but I don't think I am. You can look that up for yourselves if you really care that much, but I don't. So that's going to do it for us, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And we're not going to be here next week, all next week. Every show's off. We're taking off for Christmas. So just a very quick Merry Christmas.
Yay.
Thank you guys for listening. We love all of you. You are what keeps this going. And enjoy your holiday, whatever you choose to celebrate. And we'll see you next time.